Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. And visitors in Jesus' precious name. Our intimations this morning, tea and coffee after the service through in the small hall. Great time just to be together, to share together for a time of coffee, tea and a chat. Summer Mission Week. The holiday club runs Monday to Thursday, 11 to 1:30 at the High Kirk Halls. Youth nights, Tuesday night and Thursday night, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock at Ardeer Church Hall. Message Church here on the Saturday, 12 to 2. And then next week, next Sunday, it's a shared worship at 10:30 in Ardeer Parish Church, followed by a sandwich lunch in the hall. We'll be looking at the Summer Mission Week, and giving thanks for all who are involved in planning and running and taking part and looking at some of the stuff that had gone on through Messy Church as well. The prayer walk then is at 2:30, starting up at St John's, stop at the cross, outside here and down at Ardeer, where there's some refreshments. So everyone's welcome to take part in that. And I see there it says cars will be available from one stop to another. If that's not enough walking, Wednesday the 1st at 11 o'clock at Ardeer, this new venture, the Health Walk, Walk Together, and there'll be some snacks available afterwards. Church Magazine articles now needed for September issue. Deadline there is the 5th of August. So you can either give them to Catherine or email them. And one of my jobs to do before the 2nd is to put my contribution in, because I'm going on holiday from the 2nd. And Scott Cameron will be giving pastoral cover. As we are gathered, Jesus is here, one with each other. Jesus is here. Let's stand as the word is brought in. Come then in weakness and find strength. Come in sickness and find health. Come in chains and find freedom. Come in confusion and find peace. Come in sorrow and find joy. Come in doubt and find faith. Come in despair and find courage. Come unready. Come alone. Find Christ. And as we worship this morning, we worship and glorify our God, the Servant King. So let's stand again to sing, "From Heaven You Came, Helpless Babe."
Thank you.
join our hearts and our minds together in prayer. Let's pray. We praise you, great and gracious God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Come to praise you, God, the Father, glorious and eternal ruler of time and space. Father, you made the universe and all that is in it. You created us, men and women, in your own image. You graciously revealed your purpose and your love, above all in your Son, Jesus Christ. And so we come this morning to praise you. Praise you as God, our Father. We come to praise you again as God the Son. You came to earth to reveal the Father's love. We praise you for your humble birth, for your ministry of teaching, of preaching, and of healing, for your death upon the cross, for your glorious resurrection and ascension, for your continual intercession for us, and for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We praise you this morning, God the Son. We praise you, God the Holy Spirit, source of all goodness, beauty, and truth. You are forever with the people of Jesus, guiding them, guarding them, leading them into all truth. And you're with us now as we worship. We praise you, God the Holy Spirit. And so we praise you, God, great and gracious God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. But as we come to you to praise you, we also seek your forgiveness. What poor disciples of Jesus we are. How we struggle to, in our lives, reflect his love. How slow we are to follow in his steps. Jesus forgave his enemies, but we are vindictive and seek revenge. Jesus never used force to achieve his objectives, but we want way, whatever the means of attaining it may be. Jesus was silent before his accusers, but we bluster and argue and squabble and fight. Jesus prayed often and fervently for strength to resist evil, but we have not prayed as we ought and have expected painless results from our feeble efforts. Father, forgive us. Give us a true desire to fight against evil. Show us that the only effective weapons for the struggle are those which Jesus used. So may we witness for him by the innocence of our behavior, our grasp of his truth, our patience and kindliness, by gifts of the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by declaring the truth, by the power of God. We ask it for Christ's sake, in whose prayer we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Amen. And we come to now hearing Scripture this morning. It's Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Pat's going to read for us.
Artaxerxes sends Nehemiah to Jerusalem. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before, so the king asked me, "Why does your face look so sad when you're not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart." I was very much afraid, but the king said to me, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" The king said to me, "What is it you want?" Then I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried, so that I can rebuild it." Then the king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked me, "How long will your journey take, and when will you get back?" It pleased the king to send me, so I set a time. I also said to him, "If it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governors of Trans-Euphrates, so that they will provide me with safe conduct until I arrive in Judah. And may I have a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the royal park, so he will give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel by the temple, and for the city wall, and for my residence, and for the residence I will occupy." And because the gracious hand of my God was on me, the king granted my requests. So I went to the governors of Trans-Euphrates and gave them the king's letters. The king had also sent army officers and cavalry with me. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard about this, they were very much disturbed that someone had come to promote the welfare of the Israelites.
May God add his blessing to this reading of his word, to him be all glory, honour and praise. Amen. This morning we're thinking about that thing about waiting for God's time, about being ready, getting set, going, which is kind of what Nehemiah's doing here. We'll go into that deeper later on. Some of you might remember, though, in the Olympics in 1992, where a young British athlete was taking part in the 400-metre race. And with about 150 metres into the race, his hamstring tore. It was Derek Richmond who was the runner. And he collapsed on the track and then stood up, waved away support and help, and tried to complete the race. His father got through the security, came onto the track, and supported them as they walked round or hobbled round the rest of the track. But Derek finished the race. He didn't get a prize, not a medal anyway. He finished the race. And there's a couple of things in that for us to think about. And it's where God has taken Nehemiah in many ways. The first is this. Derek Richmond put a lot of effort into getting ready for that race. A lot of training. A lot of eating the right foods. A lot of doing the right stuff. When he got to Barcelona, when he got to the Olympics, he was tipped to win a medal. That was the standard that he was at. And he was all set. He was there on the line, on the track, he was set. Everything was in place. And then, go. And he sprinted out for 150 metres, and there his hamstring tears. And you know, that's life. We get to these points, everything seems to be right, everything seems to be going, and something happens. And for Derek, there in the crowd, was his father, who came across to him and supported him and helped him. For us, in our discipleship with God, we have our Father who's there for us to help us cross the race, cross the line. God has never said he expects us to go and win the race. He's there with us all the time. He's there with us all the time. And when there's a need, he's right beside us. Same way as Derek's father was there at the race and there was a need. And so as we, even from a young age up to an older age, we're all in this, running the race. We spend different ways of getting ready and being set for what it is that God wants us to do. But he will never leave us. He'll always be supportive. He'll always be there beside us. And the thing that we do wrong most of the time is we don't wait for him, try and go on ahead in our own time. So it's important that we take God's time in looking at what it is he wants us to do. It's God's time, running the race, running his race with him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Your word says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Thank you, Lord, that you can let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, for your grace is given to us, your love freely offered. In Jesus' precious name, amen. We sing together again, Christ is the world in which we move. Christ are the folk we are summoned to love. It's the tune Dream Angus. Let's worship. Thank you. continue with our offering. So just a few of the points to give thanks for as we come to our prayers for others. From Presbytery, pray for the congregation of Lags Clark Memorial and the minister, the Reverend David Watson, whose time as moderator of Presbytery will be drawing to an end, just another month to go. From Path of Renewal, we pray for the congregation in Hamilton of St. John's, and their minister, the Reverend Joe Hood, and their mentor is the Reverend Stuart Sharp. From the Crossreach prayer cycle, it's Rainbow House in Glasgow, which is a substance misuse service providing residential rehabilitation to help men and women recover from addiction. There's many things that we come together with as we come to worship, and there's things that are on our own hearts, things of joy and things of concern. And so this is a moment where we can share these with the Father. And so as we join together, let's pray, and let's pray for others. Almighty Father, we give you thanks that you've revealed your power and your glory through your mighty acts of creation, that you've revealed your redeeming and transforming love through your beloved Son. Father, we thank you for Jesus, who lived and worked and suffered and died for the sake of all the world, and whom you raised again from death to be praised and exalted above all forever. We thank you that you have called us to his service, and that those whom you call, you also equip for their task. We thank you for men and women, many times and places, who have struggled courageously against evil, strengthened by your grace, sustained by faith and hope and love. We thank you for the realization that though by ourselves we can do nothing, we can do all things in Christ who strengthens us. And Father, as we pray for those who are struggling this morning, struggling with ill health, physical or mental, struggling with circumstances, struggling in relationship, struggling in mourning and grief. And Father, as we pray that you would be there to touch each one, to give them that healing, that certainty of your presence, to be the Father who supports them as the things that trouble them threaten to cripple them. And Father, we bring our own prayers to you, prayers that are on our hearts and on our minds, prayers for those whom your Holy Spirit has inspired us with. And we pray for each one here, those who are beside us on our left, on our right, those who are behind us or in front of us, those who are seated above us or beneath us, and those who are a different part of the building. We pray for those who can't make it here this morning. And Father, as we put forward this offering, a token of all that you've given us, we give back to you. We rededicate our very lives to you as well. As we pray, give us humility to acknowledge our need of your help, faith to trust in your powerful love, and courage to fight against evil within us and around us. May we be your servants. May we see your kingdom come in this place. Lord of all the living, remember all whom we remember, and forget none whom we forget. Hear this prayer offered in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. My Jesus, my Saviour, Lord, there is none like you. Our hymn for the month. Let's stand to worship. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we turn to you. I ask you now for the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus by your Spirit to rest upon every mind in this place, in order that their perception of what I will say will be heard, received, applied as you intend. Cleanse my tongue, that I will be your transparent instrument to say everything that needs to be said, nothing that doesn't need to be said. I pray that I'll be very, very clear, and that this will bring great honour and glory to your name. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we go through the Bible reading, the Bible plan, because what happens is we drop into bits of Scripture where maybe I've said before, maybe we've not been before, but we kind of just drop in. And sometimes we need to take a bit of a wider view to what's going on. So this morning we need to realise that Nehemiah's story is just part of a bigger story in the rebuilding of Jerusalem following the exile into captivity to Babylon. The temple was rebuilt earlier by Zerubbabel and Joshua. Ezra led a spiritual revival. So here's a place of worship being rebuilt. A spiritual revival developing, led by Ezra. And now Nehemiah comes to restore the safety and the order of Jerusalem in the rebuilding of the wall. You know, God will use different people, and even a number of different people, in rebuilding or in bringing about revival according to what it is his plan, what he's looking to do, what needs to happen. And you know, one of the things that Nehemiah shows us in this book is there's a structure to communicating with God. There's a way to do this. It's a structure which honours God, and it's to his glory, and it's a structure that we should follow. It's one that's quite simple. It's of prayer, patience, and perseverance. Prayer first. Prayer must be, should be, is, has to be the centre of all that we do. Prayer is essential. It's how we talk with God. It's how we speak. And maybe more importantly, how we listen. For it's also about our submission to the Father. It's about that moment of zipping, being quiet. Those words of, "Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening." Prayer is all that. It has to be central to what it is. And we see in Nehemiah that prayer is central to everything that he's doing. Spoke a couple of weeks ago about lament. And this prayer in chapter 1, prayer that's in chapter 1, and it's really about half the chapter, was accompanied by weeping, mourning, and fasting. Nehemiah took time. Says a few days, over a course of days, he mourned, he wept, he fasted, and he prayed. And then he gets to a point on one day when he prays a prayer. In fact, I'm just going to get it. He starts off, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commands. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. So there he goes. Straight into that constant prayer. But this is very much a lament. He's praying because of what he's heard. He'd questioned friends, one of his brothers, about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile and about Jerusalem. This was the answer. Those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. And this has broken Nehemiah's heart. This great city is wrecked. The wall is down. The gates have been burnt. And so he weeps. He laments. And I said a few weeks ago that we've overlooked lament as a way to be with God. I certainly know that from my own background, I would call Flowers of the Forest a lament, a tune, something that was played at a time of a funeral or a time of memorial. But actually, the lament that's here is a God-inspired means of communication, to be able to communicate with God, body, mind, and spirit, using our body, our mind, our spirit. And you know, it allows sadness and anger. It allows us to express sadness and anger. And it can bring healing and wholeness. But this then was Nehemiah's lament. He starts off with adoration. And then he goes on to confession. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. And then he goes to seek redemption, reminds God about his instructions to Moses. So they are your servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. And then supplication. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. And the last line of the chapter is, I was cupbearer to the king. So we see here a lament, and now we actually move later on here for a prayer for help. This first prayer came from a time of mourning, of fasting, of preparation. And here now, he's in that time with the king. The queen's there too. This is not a big royal banquet. This is a kind of family time for the royal family, for the queen is there beside the king. And he was the cupbearer. He's one of the cupbearers. This time,
it's his turn to be the cupbearer, and the king, Artaxerxes, knows him and picks up that he's sad and asks him what it's about. And he says, may the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? Remember too, this king was the one responsible for that. And the king says, what is it that you want? And Nehemiah prays, says, then I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king. So even in that moment, he took the time to pray. A momentary prayer, a short prayer, but a prayer nonetheless to the God of heaven. And you know, it shows us that these prayers are just as valid as any other prayer. It's a day-to-day, moment-by-moment, a prayer for an immediate task, a prayer, just to throw up because of the circumstances and the time. Many's the time that I'll be walking through or driving through somewhere and I'll pray for those things that I see around me. Prayer is for all times, not just special times. You know, so that's the kind of time of prayer that Nehemiah was demonstrating to us. But he also demonstrates a patience. Chapter 1, it says, in the month of Kislev. And then at the beginning of chapter 2, it's the month of Nisan. So we already know it's two different months. But actually, Kislev is around November, December. And Nisan is around March, April. So it's about 4 months. He prayed and he waited. He sat before God and he lamented. The patience of sitting there, waiting, praying, instead of running away with his own thoughts, with his own ideas. It would be easy. He knew what the wall looked like. It'd be easy for him just to say, I'll go and fix it. That's what I have to do. And fire into it. But he waited and he prayed to the God of heaven, the great and awesome God. And he lamented and he waited his time and he waited for God to answer, to give him the time. Answers to prayer come in different ways, but they're nearly always confirmed by someone or something else. God might speak, although it might be through someone else. But actually, the right moment for Nehemiah was when the king asked him. There was God's moment. For the king said, why does your face look so sad when you're not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart. And so, knowing what God wants him to do, he prays again and says what it is that he seeks. If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favour in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild it. And that patience wasn't just for that time. For if we read on, we see that when he arrives at Jerusalem, the first thing he does is he rests for 3 days before going out to inspect the wall. He took his time about this. There was no quick fix. It wasn't just, there it is, there's a rubble, let's get it done. He went out, he walked around, he inspected the damage. He took his time. You know, and all this shows that perseverance. The hardest thing to do sometimes is to wait. It shows a perseverance. If you're able to have that patience and to wait for the right time, for the right moment. He had to wait before speaking with the king. He rested before inspecting the wall. And if you read through the book of Nehemiah, you see that he prays continually. And you know, all was not well with the rebuilding, because there were people opposed to the wall being rebuilt. So all was not well. And in many ways, Nehemiah just had to keep on keeping on. To keep doing what he was doing. That thing about prayer, of patience, of perseverance. And even at a time where they're under threat and the wall wasn't completed, in chapter 4 says this: from that day on, half of my own men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armour. The officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall. So here we go now, as they're under threat, and Nehemiah, persevering, has actually said, okay, half the workers will work, half will be on guard. It's keeping on, keeping on, dealing with the circumstances, praying. And so then, there's something for us in all this. It's kind of the so what moment. But for us, we see prayer, patience, and perseverance. And you know, for Nehemiah, it led to the rebuilding of the wall. For many people, it leads to the purpose, the culmination of God's purpose and God's call in their lives. Many ways we can call it the prize. Our purpose, our prize is Jesus Christ, our inheritance. But you know, for Nehemiah, the building, the prize was much more than rebuilding of the walls. It was the rebuilding of Jerusalem. Remember, Zerubbabel and Joshua had rebuilt the temple. Ezra had led a revival. And now the walls were complete. So what about us? Where are we now? You know, for me, our prayer, our patience, our perseverance is about rebuilding, true enough. Building, helping God build the kingdom in this place. To do that, we need to be covenant people. People who are engaged with God. People who have been transformed and lead others to transformation. And that's through mission. This week, with Summer Mission, what lives are being touched by the Word of God? What young lives are being touched by the Word of God? Transformational. We might not see it this year or next year. It may be years in advance. Prayer, patience, perseverance. And so for me to get prayer into the centre of what we do needs us to be able to do certain things. We go home and we have our own prayers, but we need organised prayer times. Proper prayer meetings. Focused. Looking at church. Looking at mission. Looking at discipleship. This is how we rebuild. We might never get to the good old days. In fact, I don't think we want to be at the good old days. But we need to be forward to where God is going. We know what's happening in the church. But actually, we also know that congregations need to be about being transformational, but being missional. Congregations need to know what prayer is, what patience is, what perseverance, not just for ourselves, but as a group of people together, praying and studying the word. There can be no other way forward but for prayer, patience, and perseverance. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, by your Spirit, bless us and guide us. Lead us to a life of prayer, time of patience, and perseverance. Hear this prayer offered in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this promised land, this barren land. Songs of praises we will ever give to thee, O Lord our God. Be with us now as we leave this place. Lead us in prayer. Give us patience and perseverance to be your servants. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one now and until Jesus comes again, and then forevermore. Let there be love shared among us.